Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Pastor James Hamlin wishing you a wonderful blessing as you take part in this service by means of this tape. This is Sunday, March the 10th, 1985. This time, the children and youth are going to be singing. And of course, you pray for them as they sing for us at this time.
created unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
You know, Matthew 6 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This time, Brother Kermit's going to come up to read our scripture for us and lead us in prayer. We do want to be remembering Brother White's wife, as she has surgery this week. She goes in the hospital the 14th and has surgery on the 15th, on Friday. Let's be remembering Ms. White in prayer. And God's certainly able to bless and work out his will. We also want to continue to pray for Susan Edwards. Is she out of the hospital now? I know she told me she was probably got out yesterday. So let's be praying for Susan and her family. And also continue to pray for Kathleen and the needs that she has. Also Brother Layford. And these others listed here in the book. We know God's certainly able to strengthen and bless each one of these. I'll ask Brother Kermit to come and read our scripture for us and lead us in prayer, please.
If you would, turn to Luke 22. And we'll read 39 through 46. And when he come out and went as he was accustomed to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And as he was withdrawn from them, about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as if it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, again, Father, we come to thee in prayer, thanking thee for forgiving us of our sins and shortcomings. And Father, we ask now that you look upon those that's mentioned this morning that have needs, that have physical needs, Father, those that are in the hospital, those, Father, that are scheduled to go. We ask that you be with them, and Father, be with the family. And Father, we ask that you be with those of our number that are traveling, or those, Father, that will begin to travel today, see them safely through. And Father, we thank thee for thy goodness to us in so many ways. And Father, we thank thee for allowing so many of us to be here this morning in thy house. And Father, we ask now that you give the word to the pastor, that as he passes it out, Father, it stir our hearts and cause us, Father, to come to the realization of how much we need thee and how much, Father, we want to be in thy service. And Father, we ask now that you look upon us in all things, bless, direct, and keep us, and be with us, Father, in each home represented here today, throughout this week, that in all that we do, Father, we give thee the praise and the glory. This we pray and ask for in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Okay, for our last hymn, let's turn to page 179. The Way of the Cross Leads Home. Let's stand and sing all three verses.
time, we'd like to have our youth ushers to come forward for our morning tithes and offerings. Steve, you and Tim. I guess we have any other boys here, do we? Would you lead us in prayer, Tim?
Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you've given us this day. We want to just pray that you will bless this offering, that it will go to do your work. Just want to pray that you bless that as he brings the message. Just want to ask God some more.
Wanda's feeling better. She missed the last 5 days of school. And glad she's feeling better today. Before the message, Tom and Fred and Francis are going to come to sing a song I have not heard fully yet. Came through the office in there and they were practicing it. First time I'd ever heard it. It's a wonderful song as they come to sing for us. Thank you. Certainly a wonderful song, isn't it? Today we're going to be speaking about a man, and that man is Jesus. Taken from the verses Brother Kermit read for us from the 22nd chapter of Luke. In fact, three out of the four Gospels tell about what happened here in the Garden of Gethsemane. The only one of the Gospel writers that don't tell about the Garden of Gethsemane experience is the book of John. It doesn't tell about Jesus praying here. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Matthew and Mark give us about the same version as Luke does. And we're going to be reading also from the book of Matthew in just a little bit. But we're going to look today at Jesus' agony in the garden. You know, Satan got the victory in the Garden of Eden. But Jesus got the victory in the Garden of Gethsemane. What a place this is. There are still some olive trees in the Garden of Gethsemane that they say were there when Jesus prayed almost 2,000 years ago. I thank God for Jesus. What he has done for us. He has done for us what we could not do for ourselves, what no one else could do. And what a wonderful Savior he is. We want to take a trip today to the Garden of Gethsemane and see some of the price that Jesus was willing to pay. I thank God for 1 Corinthians 6 and 20 that says, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The 19th verse says that we're bought with a price. And what a price it was. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. The richest of the rich became the poorest of the poor. Jesus even said that the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. I'm glad for Jesus this morning. Jesus was willing to be crucified. And about 3 years before this, John the Baptist had said, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. In fact, the book of Revelation tells us that Jesus was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God always had a plan, and Jesus was in that plan, his son. A preacher talking about deathbed repentance said one time, do you think that a deathbed repentance does away with a whole life of sin? And a Christian lady answered and said, no, but Calvary does. Calvary does away with a life of sin. And I thank God that Calvary covers it all, as the songwriter said. Our key verse today is going to be the 44th verse of Luke 22 that tells us this, and being in an agony. And this word agony is in the Bible only one time. It means anguish or struggle. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 36 to 46. Now let's read these verses also. Matthew 26:36. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said to Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. I believe, first of all, here in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus went through physical agony. Because Jesus was God as well as man, and man as well as God. Jesus was not just another ordinary man. He was an extraordinary man. He was God in the flesh. Because in our verses in Sunday school, it said that Jesus said, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. They were, Jesus was the splitting image, as old saying, of God the Father. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He knew what it was to be tired, Jesus did. In John 4 and verse 6, And Jesus, being wearied with his journey, sat on the well. You know the story there as he went through Samaria. He knew what it was to be tired, physically tired. He knew what it was to be hungry. The Bible tells us in Luke 4, he was 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil comes along and says, Turn these stones to bread. And Jesus gave him what Deuteronomy said in the Old Testament. So Jesus knew what it was to be tired, to be hungry. In fact, in two places, we find that Jesus fell asleep. He got tired. He got sleepy. He was man as well as God, and God as well as man. In Luke 8:23 it says, But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And you know the story, I believe it's in John, where Jesus, they went across the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Jesus needed rest as man. But as God, he says to us, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As man, he got hungry. But as God, he says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus got sleepy. But as God, the Bible says, he giveth his beloved sleep. You know, sleep is a blessing. There are many people who can't sleep. I've used to lay down in the hospital this week. I've been chaplain this week, and a lady who couldn't sleep. I tried to give her verses out of God's Word that would help her. My friend, we're living in a troubled world, and our eyes had better be up in that direction. We need Him. We need the Lord today more than we've ever needed Him before. So I believe that the physical side of Jesus cried out there in the Garden of Gethsemane. His agony was something to behold. The devil, as I said, got the victory in the Garden of Eden as he brought sin into the world, as Adam and Eve sinned. And sin came in, death came in, Shame came in. Thorns and thistles and briars came in. But someday, the Bible tells us in Revelation, and there was no more curse. The curse is even going to be done away with when Jesus comes again. And he comes for us. So the physical side of Jesus cried out there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I thank God today for a man called Jesus who loved me enough and loved you enough that he would go through all this physical agony for you and me. Two young people were talking about the service of Christ, and one said to the other, "I cannot tell you all the Lord is to me. I wish you'd be a follower of him." And the other one said, "I've been thinking about it, but it means giving up many things. I am counting the cost." And the other said, "Have you counted the cost of not following Jesus? I'm not following him? What will you be doing 10,000 years from today? You're going to be somewhere." Jesus suffered this physical pain on our behalf. Not only did Jesus suffer physically there in the Garden of Gethsemane as he thought and knew of what lay ahead, but I believe even deeper there was a spiritual agony. Jesus came to the garden to pray. And Matthew tells us, he tells the disciples to sit here while I go pray. Yonder. And he went a little farther. I want to say this, friends, today. Jesus always went a little farther. He went a little farther. He left 8 disciples at one place and took with him 3, Peter, James, and John, and left them in another place. And then he went a little farther by himself. And I believe he must have stretched out on the ground. One gospel writer says he kneeled upon his knees. My friend, Jesus suffered not only physical agony and pain as he knew what lay ahead in just a few short hours, but he suffered spiritually. I want to say this, friends. Jesus suffered my hell and your hell. And we don't have to suffer hell throughout eternity. We can accept him today. We can accept him into our lives. The one who suffered hell for us. When Peter got up to preach at Pentecost, he quoted from the Psalms where it says, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Jesus got up out of that grave on that first Easter Sunday morning. Jesus arose again. Jesus suffered spiritual agony. 3 times in Isaiah 53, it mentions the soul of Jesus. The soul. Not his body, it mentions his soul. It says like this, that he has poured out his soul unto death. Unto death. He hath made his soul an offering for sin. And the Father would see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Jesus suffered spiritual agony and pain. Here, as he said to his heavenly Father in the 42nd verse of Luke 22, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me." Have you ever thought what was in that cup? The cup that Jesus is talking about? I believe in that cup must have been every sin of everyone who would ever live. Jesus said, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, the Father, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a price. Jesus, who had never sinned one time, was going through all this physical and spiritual agony there in the Garden of Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane means oil press. There are many olive trees there, even today. Oil press. And there Jesus kneeled upon his knees, and he's there for you and me. He's there because he loves us. If we would ask him, why were those drops of sweat as of blood? Why were they falling from your face? Because I love you. I love you. I love you. Because he loved us. This is the only gospel writer who mentions this in this way. Verse 44, a key verse. And being in an agony, struggle, anguish, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Luke was a physician. The Holy Spirit inspired all of the writers of the Bible. They wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I believe that, if I believe anything today, I believe this book is the inerrant, the inspired Word of God. And it has the answer to all of our problems. Thank God today for the agony that Jesus went through. Jesus was one to suffer your hell and my hell for us. And Paul said that I may know him. I want to know him. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Here in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is looking toward the cross. He knew ahead lay all this agony and pain, but he was doing it for you and me. Jesus' total being, I believe, was in this struggle there in the Garden of Gethsemane. I wonder how much we appreciate today this man that lay there on the ground that day, pouring out his soul, his heart to God. The song, Blessed Redeemer, the last stanza says, oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Jesus loves me. He loves you. I told them in the homebound classes what happened to me one time a few years ago. There was a storm brewing outside. The wind was blowing, the thunder and lightning. You know what happened? I believe it was Merle. She was about 4 years old then. It's been 4, 5, 6 years ago. She was standing up in bed along about 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and she was singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. She wasn't worried about that storm outside. She was singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." If you get nothing else from this service this morning, I want you to get this. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He proved it. As he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, his sweat was coming from his face, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I appreciate Jesus today. There are two verses today from 1 John we'd like to look at in closing. 1 John 3:16. You know, there is a John 3:16, but there is also a 1 John 3:16. And look what it says. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Would you die for anyone? Romans 5 says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die." Yet, peradventure, perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But the 8th verse says, "God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us." Jesus showed his love. And my friends, you and I need to show our love. Verse we had in Sunday school last Sunday, I believe, says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." There shall not be any room in my heart and your heart for hate. We need to love each other. 1 John 4:10, another verse in 1 John says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Jesus loves us. The agony he went through there in the Garden of Gethsemane, not only physical agony, but spiritual agony, tells us he loves us. He loves us. And Jesus came back to the disciples 3 times, and they were asleep every time. Jesus had already said, "Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And that's why I believe he picked him out there in Matthew that we read. He said to Peter, "Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour. While Jesus prayed, the disciples were sleeping. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Why not come to Jesus this morning? You'll find in him a friend who loves you, who will never leave you, he says, never forsake you. Our invitation to him today is, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior," page 201, as we stand to sing. Page 201, "Pass Me Not." Put your faith and trust in the Lord today as we stand.